topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, and the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to continue with the essence of my message regarding prayer, and we're going to go with part two. Overview of the broadcast: we will pick up where we left off last week, and we will look at why Yah could do much greater works thousands of years ago, relating to the level of anointing and the level of prayer. We will look at the most important prayers and start with judgment. We'll talk about praying against deception. We'll then look at qualifying to become a friend of Yah and drawing close to him. We'll look in detail at daily prayers, commencing with what we pray. I'll present a postscript, the biggest error crippling mature anointed believers. And finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio and TV programs, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show in the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google or another search engine for quote Relationship with Creator Radio. There are three or four podcast websites where you can get the back issues. So to pick up where we left off, we're looking at my message 2020-206-03, originally published in 2020-09-04, the essence of my message regarding prayer, and we pick up where I left off in terms of important principles. Point number P. Why Yah could do much greater works thousands of years ago, in brackets, level of anointing and level of prayer. Have you ever wondered why Yah does not perform the sort of mighty works he performed in the time of Noah, of Abram, of Moses, of Elijah, or Yeshua? The flood, fire and brimstone from heaven, the parting of the Red Sea, fire from heaven on a smaller scale, storm calm, continuous stream of highly visible miracle healings, etc. One thing to notice in the above examples is that the scale and dramatic scope of events became less with the passage of time and has continued to become less to the present age. Why is this? Firstly, the level of relationship of believers with Yah, of those closest to Yah, has declined continuously over this period. For the most part, folks, those people who at some level today are close to Father are nowhere near as close to Father as Yeshua was, as Moshe, Moses was, as Noah was, or Abram was. The result is that we don't have the level of faith, we don't have the level of anointing to bring about that sort of miracle like the parting of the Red Sea or bringing about a flood that deluges the earth. The level of anointing of the most anointed believers on earth has declined substantially. The level of authority of the most senior members of Yah's family on earth has also declined in proportion to the above. The number of highly anointed ones has declined. The level of prayer and the nature of prayer has declined. Satan's forces on earth have become much more knowledgeable in direct proportion to the extent to which those who believe have become increasingly ignorant of the matters of Yah and deviated from truth. Satan's forces on earth have become proportionately more powerful and numerous in proportion to the degradation in power and number of the believers. Almost the entire Christian religion, Muslim religion, Jewish religion, etc., are in fact serving Satan through the wrong names, wrong Sabbaths, etc., etc. The issues that have been discussed previously on this program. Folks, this is so important to understand. We have been going downhill for thousands of years. When I say we, those of us who believe, there's a very small number of true believers on earth today. Most of them are very weak. Few of them have any sort of level of anointing. Those that do have some level of anointing are not conscious of their level of authority for the most part. And just about all of them are in serious, serious doctrinal error in terms of what they believe, what they teach, and what they act on. If you're in error and preaching lies like Jesus is God, the Bible's the word of God, then you're actually a servant of Satan. And what are you going to do to Satan when he's going to laugh at you when you try and do something? We've reached a point where for anything really visibly dramatic to happen on Yah's behalf on earth, there needs to be a large group of believers in perfect harmony and agreement. And at present, it is challenging to get even two who are anointed and committed to agree let alone pray in harmony. Yah is massively hampered by the weakness and lackluster conduct of those of us who claim at some level to have a relationship with him. Added to which, if he did want to do something, most would argue that it's not in the Bible and therefore would not listen to him. Have you ever wondered what Noah did without the Bible? There was no biblical precedent. Therefore, according to most believers today, it could not have been Yah who brought the flood. In fact, Noah would probably be kicked out of just about every church, every mosque, every synagogue, every temple on the planet today if he were to come warning of judgment. Folks, this is really worth thinking about. In the time of Noah, there was no book called the Bible that in any way was comparable to the Bibles we have today. In the time of Abram, there was no Bible. In the time of Moses, Moshe, the only Bible that existed was the records that were written around what happened at that time. The so-called Torah was completed after the death of Moshe. In the time of Yeshua, you only had the so-called Old Testament, and that was in limited quantities in Torah scrolls in synagogues. Yeshua, Jesus, was an Old Testament prophet. He didn't have the New Testament. So much of what he did was not biblical. And that's one of the reasons why they killed him. So as I say, the same can be said of Abram, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Yeshua. They would all be kicked out of the modern religious assemblies for failing to submit to the pastor, the priest, the imam, the rabbi, and for teaching doctrines that are not in the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, etc. of their time. In fact, as I said a minute ago, that's basically why Yeshua was executed. He was doing things that were contrary to the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, read pastor and church council. If you've not been kicked out of a church recently, you need to ask yourself what you're doing to cozy up to the devil. So the bottom line, for Satan to be sent to the pit, somebody had to do something that was not set out in the Bible. If it was set out in the Bible in detail, Satan would have prevented it from happening. But it happened quietly and without fanfare. See the article Satan to the Pit 2003 on the website main menu. Folks, this really bears thinking about. The Bible is a useful resource to understand how different people have interacted with Father, how anointed ones have been anointed to do different things. And it gives us some truths that are important. That's where it stops. You need to look at modern writings, and you need to get to a place where you have a deep personal relationship with Father, and he teaches you directly, and you hear him directly. You don't need to go and sit in front of a pastor, a priest, an imam, or rabbi, or whatever to teach you. Father will teach you directly. Continuing on my point about Satan, likewise, Yeshua will not return in response to wide publicity as keeps happening at present. He said he would come as a thief in the night, not appearing to people all over the place, telling them he's coming soon and is going to take them away from all the suffering, etc. What are you going to do differently going forward in order to challenge the status quo, Satan in the religious assembly, and make a difference on earth for Yah? Try praying the important prayers below and other prayers in this series. Please pray about this and think about it. It's vital to understand if you're to overcome in this age and make a difference in your service of Yah. Folks, I'm going to share with you over the next 3 weeks, today and the next 2 weeks following, a whole collection of prayers that I've put together. Many of them are prayers that I've compiled myself. I believe under a strong anointing, a fairly high level of inspiration. They're practical prayers. They're effective prayers. They get things done. And as I said last week, the majority of prayers that most people pray are completely ineffective and ineffectual and actually useless. So I hope that you will find what I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes of interest. So I want to move on to what I've called the most important prayers. And the first prayers I'm going to talk about relate to judgment. In my opinion, if you are to faithfully serve Father to the end, the following are the most important prayers and should be prayed regularly. I believe that the single most important prayer that one could pray, and the one prayer I would choose if I was limited to praying only one prayer for the rest of my life, is, Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. I firmly believe that if you're sensitive to the resulting leading and have a munah of faith, that Yah will not test you beyond what you can endure. You will learn much from this prayer and will stay on track with Father no matter what happens. Anytime something goes wrong, get on your knees before Father and ask him what you did wrong. Judgment can take the form of an accident, an illness, lost business, anything that causes you loss or suffering that may point to judgment. I've, on two occasions, ruptured teeth. I have to tell you that is extremely painful. It's a small thing, but it really focuses your attention. I've had a couple of, one fairly minor and one not so minor motor car accidents. I wasn't shaken or hurt or anything, but I incurred damage that cost me money and inconvenience. I've prayed this prayer on and off for many years, and I believe it's helped me to get close to Father. I believe it's helped me to stay close to Father. And I recommend it. If you're serious about serving Father, you need to pray that prayer, but then you need to make a real effort to live your life above sin. It's not a prayer to pray if you're just going to carry on sinning. Note that if you're walking free of sin and error, you will not experience illness, loss, etc. See the article, What is Required to Live Above Sin, on the website. Only pray this prayer asking for judgment if you are sincere and willing to make the adjustments that you find yourself needing to make. One must be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of the Almighty and be obedient to his leading. This may seem like an alarming prayer, but provided it is prefaced by reference to Father's chesed and chen, his love, his loving kindness, his mercy, and his grace, as above, he will moderate his judgments within your capacity to cope with them. Remember, he is your Father, he loves you, he wants the best for you. Praying for his judgment is the safest thing that you can do. Trust him totally. I once read a book, I think it was The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, where Father said to the person having the vision, it's wise to judge yourself. It's wiser still to ask me to judge you. And that was about staying on track, staying on course, living above sin. Folks, it's so important. The biggest miracle of Yeshua's life, you may know him as Jesus, wrong name, was that he lived for 32 and a half years without sinning once. He died a terrible death without sinning once. If you want to follow in Yeshua's footsteps, if you want to regard him as the way, you need to live above sin. Remember, if you're not judged in this life, you will be judged on the day of your judgment when you die. Rather be judged now while there's still time to course correct, rather than end up in hell for a season. Be sensitive to things happening and then seek, Father, to know why you've been judged and how to correct. Judgments can be very small or they can be major, such as a motor accident or near accident. No matter what it is, if something goes wrong and you've prayed for judgment, get on your knees and ask him to show you what you've done wrong. Repent, course correct, and get back on track. If you will do this on a consistent basis, you will find that after a few years, the way you are living your life has changed drastically. Note that this does not release you from your responsibility to chart the course of your life with regard to relationships, business, work, ministry. You are not a glove puppet. So there are a couple of pieces here. Once you ask Father to judge you, if of course you ask him to judge you, you may be put off at that thought. But I submit for your consideration, the only way you're going to find out what's wrong in your life is to pray for correction, to pray for judgment. The key thing there is to recognize that Father is gracious, he's merciful, he's your loving daddy. He's not going to beat you up. He won't allow you to be tested beyond what you can endure. And I have to say, a split tooth and waiting 2 or 3 days to get dental treatment is by no means a trivial matter. But in actual fact, it's a pretty small thing. It's a couple of days of pain and suffering to focus your mind on what you did wrong and how to course correct. In prayers about deception, thereafter the next prayer I would choose to pray would be, show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. And we pray that just about every night. Be prepared for much and possibly most of what you believe to be turned on its head. If you're really serious about seeking truth, then pray, lead me into all truth by your Spirit. And then on top of that, go on at least 7 3-day fasts at intervals of 7 days and constantly petition Yah to lead you into truth and correct your error. You're likely to experience dramatic changes. See also the article, Seek Truth, Not Error. Folks, this is so important. I only really started to get real revelation of the truth when I started to fast. I went on about 10 3-day fasts at 10-day intervals. And by fast, I mean just taking water and a little bit of bread and wine morning and evening to line your stomach for my medication. And I started to get revelations about the names, about Christmas, all sorts of things, the Saturday Sabbath. And that continued. I've since been on about another 6 or 7 programs of 7 to 10 3-day fasts. And I strongly recommend that. If you're serious about having a relationship with Father, you need to find out the truth about him. There's a huge amount on the website, over 2,500 articles. You'll find a lot there, but fasting will help you to know what is truth. Then number 3, qualify to become a friend of Yah. The highest rank in heaven is as a friend of Yah. There have only been a limited number of such people in history, but this is available to every believer. It's available to every human being on the planet who chooses to believe and then to seek to become a friend. That is what we were created for. Pray, Father, I ask you to help me to become your friend. Folks, there's an article on the website, The Essence of My Message Regarding History. It's another web page, History of All This, or something like that. The reason we exist is for one reason only. Father Yah, who's always existed, was lonely and he wanted somebody to talk to. He set about a whole process in which he created matter. He created the universe. He created the solar system. He created planet Earth. He populated the planet with plants and animals. And then he created human beings. All of that with one single objective: to have intelligent people with free will who could be in relationship with him, who could share things with him, who could do things with him, who would be his friends. So if you are not actively seeking to become his friend, I hate to tell you this, but you're missing the boat and you're going to be really disappointed when you die. In my next point, prayers regarding drawing close to Father. Help me to know you more nearly and see you more clearly day by day. Help me to bring you joy every day. Let me know your peace that passes all understanding. Let your joy be my strength. Let your love be shed abroad in my heart. Let me know your heart. The one about knowing Yah's heart is a big one. Be prepared to feel Yah's anger, his grief, his joy, his sadness, etc. I've seen him weep with joy and I've seen him weep with hurt. This is not a prayer to pray lightly. After I'd prayed, let me know your heart. Somebody in my life took me to a major production, live theater. And during that process, presentation, I felt such anger coming from Father at the false things that they were doing, at the lies that they were practicing, at the adultery that they were espousing. And I went to the live theater once or twice after that, but I don't go to live theater anymore. I don't go to movies anymore. I hardly watch anything on television because so much of what is there is upsetting to Father. And I try to be his friend. I try to be close to him. And therefore, I don't want to expose him through me to these things. He's there everywhere. He sees it. He knows it. But when he's with me, I don't want him to have that experience. I want him to enjoy being around me. I want him to have peace with me. So as I say, once you've prayed that prayer, expect there to be major constraints on the type of movies and TV programs and live theater programs you can watch, what you can read, people you can associate with, etc., etc. As you draw closer to Yah, pray for him to touch you and fill you with his spirit more and more. Father, I ask you to pour out your spirit upon me and fill me with your spirit. I ask you to anoint me for the work you've called me to do. Father's a gentleman. He will not force himself upon you. So unless you invite him to come and live in you, unless you invite him to keep pouring his spirit into you day by day, he's not going to do it. I have worship songs which talk about fill me with your spirit and things like that. I listen to them at every possible opportunity and I sing along with them wherever I can so that I'm continuously praying, fill me with your spirit. And I recommend that for your consideration daily. Father, I ask you to fill me with your spirit. I ask you to pour out your spirit upon me. I ask you, anoint me for the work you've called me to do. It is only through Father living in you and for you and anointing you that you will do the greater works that Yeshua spoke of. That's the way Yeshua did what he did. Then some daily prayers, what we pray on a regular basis, following the prayers I routinely pray, and I commend them for your consideration. Father, we come to you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your chesed and your chen, your love, your loving kindness, your mercy, your grace, your favor. We ask for wisdom and understanding in all that we do. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to know your will and to do it. Help us to hear your voice and be obedient. Teach me to quieten my spirit so I can hear your still small voice. As I said last week, so many prayers that the vast majority of prayers that the vast majority of people pray are at best meaningless, useless, powerless, and at worst, they're sinful. The key thing to effective prayer is, on the one hand, to thank Father, and on the other hand, to ask him to do things for you that he is able to do. So just to read these prayers again. Father, we come to you and thank you for this day. We thank you for your chesed and your chen, your love, your loving kindness, your mercy, your grace, your favor. We ask for wisdom and understanding in all that we do. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to know your will and to do it. Help us to hear your voice and be obedient. Teach me to quiet my spirit so I can hear your still small voice. You could pray instead of help us. You could say, we thank you that you help us to draw closer to you. We thank you that you help us to know you're willing to do it. We thank you to help us to hear your voice and be obedient. It depends where you are in your relationship with him, exactly what form you will pray. I'm not going to give you both versions going forward, just to make that point. Continuing. Help us to qualify to sit on high thrones with Yeshua for eternity. We thank you that you supply all our need according to your riches and glory by the anointing that was upon Yeshua. We thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine. We thank you that you're our healer, our provider, our savior, our deliverer, our counselor, our comforter, and our friend. We thank you that your messengers or angels encamp around us to protect us. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you that every tongue that rises against us in unrighteous judgment will be refuted. Folks, each one of these little prayers is a powerful statement that gives Father the authority to operate in your life. If you don't give him permission to do these things, it's not going to happen. And if you try and figure these things out in your own strength, it's also not going to happen. In terms of day-to-day living, depending on where you live, we thank you that your messengers encamp around us to protect us, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It'll protect you against motor car accidents. It'll protect you against people attacking you, assaulting you, whatever. However, if you have sin in your life, unrepented sin, you may get judged, and then those prayers are not going to help you. These prayers will work for you at different levels depending where you are in your relationship with Father. But ultimately, if you are wandering around, messing around with sin and wrong beliefs, they're going to only be of limited help to you. Then we ask you to lead us into all truth by your Spirit. Show us the level of our present deception. I ask you to judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly. We spoke about that a minute ago. We ask you to bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory in relationship with you, in knowledge of you and your ways and your will and your kingdom, in the anointing of your Spirit, in humility, in emunah, in other words, faith, in harmony, in health, and in finances. Folks, all important prayers. I've spoken about the judgment one a few minutes ago, and it just bears repeating. For a number of years, I first prayed that in about 1998, and I prayed it intermittently for about 10 years, and then I prayed it on a regular basis for the next 10 years or so. And I've seen it work, as I shared with you a few minutes ago. Bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. In other words, help us to grow in relationship with you. Help us to grow in knowledge of you. Help us to grow in knowledge of your ways. Help us to grow in knowledge of your will. Help us to grow in knowledge of your kingdom, to grow in the anointing of your spirit, to grow in humility, to grow in emunah, faith, to grow in harmony, to grow in health, to grow in finance. All of these things are important. They are elemental building blocks of growing in your relationship with Father. And I strongly recommend them. Then help us to wear your full armor, the belt of truth, the sure-footed shoes of the good news of peace, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of emunah, faith, the mantle of humility. Help us to wield your commandments as a sharp two-edged sword dividing between truth and error. Help us to pray in the Spirit at all times without ceasing. Notice that each element of the armor is an attitude and a way of being. Seek truth at all times. Pray also, teach me to walk in the armor and use it effectively. So, don't just flippantly pray that prayer. Each of those elements of the armor is an important facet of the way you live your life. Don't get too stuck on the belt and the shoes and the helmet, etc. Important about the commandments. In Hebrew, the Ten Commandments are referred to as the Ten Words. So strictly speaking, when you talk about the Word of Yah or the Word of God, the words of Yah are the Ten Commandments. Nothing more, nothing less. Saying that the whole book is the Word of God, if you really stop and think about it, if you engage with the content of the book, it's really silly because most of it is just straightforward historical accounts of the lives of believers who were fairly anointed, fairly committed at some level, and some of whom made some really shocking mistakes. Note that pray in the Spirit at all times without ceasing is not a figure of speech. It's a real possibility. Ask Father to teach you. Pray, please teach my spirit to pray at all times without ceasing. Regarding the sword of the Spirit, I've just mentioned this. It's the commandments, the words of Yah, not the Bible. You can pray, Father, help me to keep your commandments. The commandments are, number one, Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones before him. This includes not worshipping Yeshua, not having a trinity, not worshipping Jesus. Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Lord your God, is one mighty one. Make no graven images. That includes any form of idolatry. It includes do not worship the Bible and do not worship the cross. Number three, do not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, in vain. It includes not saying Yah, J-A, for yes in Afrikaans or German, and not having a yahoo.com email address. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it set apart or holy. Includes the other days set apart by Yah, Pesach or Passover, Shavuot or Pentecost, Yom Teruah or Trumpets, Yom Kippur, a Day of Atonement, Sukkot, Tabernacles, the first and last days are all Sabbaths. They should be strictly observed. Christian Western civilization has turned it on its head. They've made the Sabbath, the first day of the month, of the week, Sunday, instead of the last day of the week, Saturday. And so the vast majority of Christian believers are breaking the commandment about the Sabbath. And they don't know it, and they're going to come before the judgment seat, and they're going to get a nasty shock. Commandment number five, honor your father and your mother, includes no old age homes. they grow old in the bosom of their family. In a well-balanced, believing family, the aging parents should grow old together with their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. They should not be farmed off to an old age home. Do not commit murder. That includes cursing, abortion, abolition of the death penalty, and abortive contraceptives. If you're using a loop or some other device that's implanted in the womb that stops the fertilized egg ovum from implanting and gets flushed out, conception, life begins, a spirit is allocated at the instant that the sperm enters the egg. Anything that stops that fertilized egg from becoming a human being is murder. So if you are using abortive contraceptives, whether they be loops or whatever, whether they be medication, gels or whatever, anything that kills the fertilized ovum is murder. You will be found a murderer when you come before the throne of judgment. Very, very serious. 7, do not commit adultery. 8, do not steal. Includes churches that take tithes while they're teaching lies. 9, do not bear false witness. Includes teaching lies as Yah's doctrine, which is pretty much universal in all the religions. And do not covet or lust. So, folks, that's the end of my message on prayer for this week. We'll continue next week and the week after. I just want to wrap up with a postscript around this point that I referred to earlier, the biggest error crippling believers. As a codicil to this article, please read the article on the website, Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers. And since writing that article, I've concluded it's not just mature anointed believer, it's all believers. And the essence of that message, the headlines of that message is, number one, you're not a glove puppet. Father is not going to come into you and control you and manipulate you and live your life on your behalf. He created you to be an autonomous, independent being who would use your intelligence, your reasoning, your will to have a relationship with him. So he's not going to live your life for you. Yah is not going to take control of your life, as so many people teach and believe. I fell into believing that trap for a long time. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness, not to be subservient to them. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and your ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. You will determine your destiny when you die. It's a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, and effectively to earn your living. If you want a good job, you need to get the qualifications, and you need to go out and get the job, and you need to do the job well. You need to be a loyal servant. You need, or if it's your own business, you need to give good service to your customers and run a really good business. Folks, you're not a glove puppet. Take that away from this presentation. So I'd like to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to him. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is so important. It's relatively easy for him to be your friend because he wants to be your friend. It's a whole different ball game for you to be his friend. Try and think this through. Try and understand what I'm saying to you. If you want to be his friend, you need to really put him first in your life. You need to understand what's important to him. You need to talk to him You need to enter into dialogue with him. You need to hear him clearly. You need to do his will in your life and in the world around you. I've had him ask me to do things which the vast majority of believers would say were absolutely crazy. But he asked me to do those things for reasons that were not your reasons or my reasons or mankind's reasons, but his reasons. So he's asked me to do things on the basis of, if that happens, it will cause discomfort to the believers and they will draw closer to me. Think about that. It's a whole different ballgame. So some key documents in a video on the main on the website, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, Muslims, Jews, etc., all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at the www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Or easier, search on Google or other search engine for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There's at least three or four websites that have the back issues of these broadcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information that you're looking for. The Google search is particularly powerful. Scroll down in the right-hand sidebar. Also, the article search is in the right-hand sidebar. Keyword cloud is a separate web page. It's also at the bottom of most web pages. Table of contents in the right-hand sidebar, also a separate web page. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. As I wrap up, I want to stress the point that I've made several times. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, who you may know as the Lord or God, wants you to become his friend. He wants every single human being on this planet to become his friend. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, who you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're into witchcraft and Satanism. He wants to get you out of that, and he wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're short or tall, whether you're fat or thin, whether you're blonde and blue-eyed or black-haired and brown-eyed or anything in between, whether you're African, Asian, Indian, European, whatever, whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Baha'i, Hindu, Confucian, Buddhist, whatever. He wants you to become his friend. I ask you to do it now. Good night. Father, I